So our special guest today is Matt. His topic is burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he will get well regardless of anyone. And he'll be referring to page 98. And Matt, would you like a 5-minute warning at the end? Okay, so at 15 minutes I'll give you a warning. And with that, the floor is all yours. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Suzanne, thank you so much. Judith, thank you for having me here today. Can you hear me okay? Okay, great. So my name is Matt Martin. I am a recovered alcoholic in Al-Anon. I've been through the BBA several times, or the Big Book Awakening several times, twice as it relates to my alcoholism and one as it relates to my Al-Anon. It was life-changing. Every single time I've done work as guided through the Big Book Awakenings and the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've had deep and effective spiritual awakenings, where things have dramatically shifted in my life to places where I couldn't even imagine. And a majority of that's, prior to the addition of my son, it's always been subtraction. So my wife and I have a 1-year-old. And so I was actually just reminded of him, of the, Suzanne has a big heart painting behind her. And he's absolutely infatuated with hearts. And every time he sees it, he goes, heart, heart. So every heart he sees, he points it out. I think it's beautiful. And we're expecting our second coming June. So our lives have been just transformed. My life has been transformed based on this, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. The portion I chose today, I think, is really important because I've been working with a number of people, and it's really pertinent in my recovery today about really keeping my sponsees and myself focused on what's the root of my recovery. And the reading's here on page 98, and I'll just kind of proceed with the passages that I'm going to talk about by just noting a couple things. Like Dan Sherman always used to say, it says, at the top of page 98, it says, get well, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. The men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol or whatever it might be are on the wrong track. Yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such actions is warranted. And in the prior page, it also talks about, if only I could get well, if my marriage was in place, if only I could get well, if I had money. I think that, many of us come into recovery thinking that that's the case. And I've had a number of sponsees recently just become very distracted by these ideas, and I get to give them the dignity of having their own experience, one thing. And when they do come back, it's a very simple refrain, and that's what I like to, that's what my portion is today, and that's burn the idea,
Matt,
into the consciousness.
Yes. Matt, it's Suzanne, sorry to interrupt you. Can you speak a little tiny bit louder?
Sure.
Thank you.
Is that better? Right. So my reading for the day is, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. Right. So there's only one condition for myself and for that new man to get well, or that new person that I'm working with. And that's to trust in God and clean house. And the cleaning house is the preset process, and it's a thorough process. And in referring back to what it said on 64, when we first started inventory, it says, I think it's in the third paragraph, it says, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. And here's the reference again. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentment, and we set them on paper. So the idea here, I think, is reiterated, or that spiritual principle is reiterated here on page 98 when it says the only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. Everything that I think is important in life, my experience has shown that they aren't. And my inventory show me that they aren't. My amends show me that they aren't. My 10-step practice show me that they aren't. These heavy action steps or reflection in step 11 as well really show me that these material things in life are not. And I remember my first BBA sponsor, his name was David S., and he would always kind of hint towards things such as like time is only part of the realm of the material and stuff like that. And I kind of glazed over it, you know, and he's like, money is only causes frustration and things like that in life. And, you know, it's part of the realm of the material. And I glazed over them. And the longer that I've been around this and the more work that I've done around it, it's these ideas of these, or these concepts that have been in the realm of the material for me are just things that I have to, that don't work for me to fill a void of happiness and joy and peace and those 9-step promises. You know, those things that I think are important usually aren't. You know, for me of lately, it's been writing inventory. It's been 10-stepping regularly, like 1 to 2 to 3 10 steps a day, either by writing them down, discussing with another alcoholic, and then remedying them as quickly as I can. And sometimes it's just a conversation with my significant other right across the table from me, since, you know, we're in a pandemic. I don't get to interact as many people as I used to. So it's mainly her. But I think it's really important, that I always come back to this when I'm working with others, is that that idea that, hey, look, like, those things aren't what you need right now. Like, well, I don't know what you need, but personally, in my experience, what I've needed is to just focus on my spiritual recovery, and that has been the 12 steps and the circle and triangle. So the circle and triangle, the three legacies of AA, unity, service, and recovery. Unity being that I go to meetings, I know people know me. So how do I do that in a pandemic? I show up, as much as I can, I try to use my FaceTime. I try to dress up like I would be going to a normal meeting. I interact, I show up a little before, I try to stay a little bit late if I can. And I try to be involved in other people's life, make outreach calls regularly. So that's unity, right? It's like, so I ask my sponsee that, you know, hey, look, where are you in your unity? In service, you know, what are you doing with other people in the program? Are you being normal? Are you being of helpfulness to them? You know, are you giving them the 12 steps? Are you relaying your experience? Are you making normal calls with them? Are they making calls with you? Are you being effective with them? And then in recovery is, where am I in my 12 steps? And I think that's the biggest one that I can ask myself today, is really like, where do I have the time to do my 12, you know, do I have that time, right? And if I don't, I need to make time. And so currently I've been writing another inventory. I'm part of an AA group that writes regular inventory like 3 or 4 times a year. And we do regular 10 steps. And and I get to ask that question to my sponsees too. You know, they go to the same meetings as I do, so they're regularly hearing this stuff. So it's not as harsh when I say, "Hey, where are you in your 10th step today? Where are you? Where are you in your inventory today? You know, Have you done two of those that we talked about from last week? Are you, you know, do you have time to do them today? Can we meet on a normal basis? Blah, blah, blah. And so that's what I do. Like, that's a majority of my 12-step calls to my sponsees are burning into the idea, the consciousness of them, that the only condition for them is to trust God, right? So rely on faith and rely on these 12 steps and to clean house, to keep my side of the street clean. And if anything has shown me that my side of the street, when it's clean, I'm a channel. Like, I've become a channel and open to intuitive intuition that is not normally mine. I'm very receptive. I'm listening. I'm teachable. I'm open-minded to different ways of interacting and doing things, especially with my supervisor and stuff like that. So it's, you know, one thing is it's really transcended in my Al-Anon program of just asking questions, you know, like really just being open to ask questions, you know, not taking the blame if something was done prior to me. You know, I used to always do that, but yeah, these 12 steps and, you know, also giving them away to another individual has been absolutely, you know, beneficial to my health, my mental health, my spiritual progress, because it just allows me to interact with my fellow human beings in a much more spiritual way. You know, I understand what people across the screen from me are might be having a bad day, you know, might be really feeling, you know, the lockdown of pandemic, or, you know, might be suffering from COVID, or have a loved one, you know, and I don't know what they're going through. There's just so many things. They might be financial distress. I don't know. But it just allows me to have much more compassion and think that there is something else going on in their life that's not from me. And I don't have to take responsibility of and ownership of those people's reactions today, which is fantastic. And the same thing with sponsees. I can do the same thing with them. I feel like that's real progress. So yeah, that's really, you know, part of the thing. There's one other thing that I really enjoy about this page too, and it's the first real paragraph. It says, "It is not the matter of giving that is in the question, but when and how to give." That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we can put our work on our service plane, the alcoholic or the person suffering commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. I have to be very, very careful. And I've had this relayed to me too by sponsors, is that I don't become that person's higher power. You know, I don't become God in their life. That I give them the dignity of their experience in the steps, and also, you know, in 10, 11, and 12, to find their path, you know, to navigate things, to stumble, to fall on their face, to trust in ridiculous things, you know, which they sound odd to me, but they might work for them. And that's really what I've learned over the past 2 years of sponsoring these people in my home group around me in Chicago, is really giving people the dignity, you know, to have their own experience and to essentially not interfere when I think it's right. You know, I can think all the time that I'm going to be right, but majority of the time it's just listening and waiting for the questions for me to be asked, and that takes discipline. Because I like to jump in and just provide my two cents whenever needed. So, I get a lot of intuition in my calls if I'm practicing my prayer meditation on a regular basis and I'm asking for these things and I'm calm and collected in my conversations with these people and dedicating the time, right, so that I'm not distracted, which has been a real big thing in my recovery over the past 6 months, is don't be distracted. Like, if I have a call time with somebody, I'm not multitasking. I have a call time, I'm scheduled, and this is what I'm dedicating the time for. So, yeah. And I think that's really important. So, Suzanne, how am I doing?
You have 5 more minutes.
Okay.
Be sure to keep the thing close to your mouth.
I'm keeping it so close. It's already in my mouth. One other thing I think that I kind of touched on today in this whole thought process is that Dan Sherman used to talk about the steps being a clock. David Shigematsu used to say it too. But essentially, like when I go through the steps and I'm at step 12, I'm right back in step 1 again because I'm helping the other alcoholic and I'm seeing how my experiences relate to them and vice versa. And there's a level of empathy when I have a spiritual awakening and I'm working with another individual in their recovery and being able to see where the things that I did, you know, when I first came in or a couple years ago or, you know, a year ago or whatever, or currently experiencing are similar to what they are. And that provides for this empathy and a level of humility, the unexpected humility that comes in that brings me down to their level, not holier than thou, that I'm not a guru or a sar or, you know, a higher power or anything of that. I'm just another beggar trying to help another beggar find bread. And, you know, I just might have a different experience today that might benefit that other person. And it's really humbling. You know, I think that if I really truly have an experience, a spiritual awakening, that the book describes, like, I'm probably going to come to this work and the service to other people in a different form than I would if I didn't. And I see that around other people. I see that in other recoveries that I, you know, other 12 steps and fellowships that I've, you know, been a part of in the past. And it's not something that I'm attracted to. And it helps me discern. It helps me discern where I want to go and who I want to be around. And, which is really nice. It's really nice to have some principles and be able to navigate this world instead of just being, appeasing to everybody. And I think that transcends to my 12, the people that I help as well. So I think that's all I got today. I do want to say that I have an amends to this group. I missed a couple months ago, you know, not, I had a commitment to this meeting of speaking and I completely blanked on it. And I do apologize for that. I was really absent-minded and I didn't put it down in my calendar. And I'm very, very sorry for doing that, and it was wrong. And so I'm glad I could be here today and share this with you. And I'm looking forward to your questions and comments.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for just a lovely, lovely share.